podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. First one back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead the pen, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to another episode of Leave the Pin Podcast. This is our fourth installment of the My Course series, which we've started kind of at the end of 2022. And we're rolling right now into 2023. By the time you hear this, it's probably going to be early January, mid-January of 2023. I got a good buddy on today, Andy Shrewsbury from the Midwest, and he's going to talk to us all about Gateway National Golf Course. Now, this is a place that's, I don't want to say near and dear to my heart because I haven't played it, but it literally sits across the Mississippi River from my beloved St. Louis Cardinals. I've been to the area a ton, but know literally nothing about the Illinois side of the Mississippi. So, Andy, what's going on?
Not much, man. Glad to be on the show.
For sure. You know, super happy to have you on. We've been chatting for years now. And I'm happy to have you on and kind of talk about this Gateway National Golf Links. So to give people a little bit of perspective, this is literally kind of a stone's throw across the mighty Mississippi in Illinois from downtown St. Louis. How far away do you live from this course?
About 15 minutes.
Oh, geez. So are you in Illinois or are you in Missouri?
I am in Illinois.
Okay.
25 minutes from downtown. And then this is basically halfway between me and St. Louis.
So being in Illinois there, right? Do you guys can, like, if you guys say I'm going to the city, do you consider St. Louis your city there?
Yes, but no, at the same time. We don't go to St. Louis that much, honestly. It's that close. We go to watch a ball game. I went recently to play the stadium golf. But I don't go downtown hardly ever, except for the baseball games.
Okay. Yeah, I love that on your Instagram. The ball stadiums, as they close down for the winter, host kind of little par three areas. I actually did it once in Citi Field where the Mets play a few years ago. That place is a dump. Nothing compared to Busch Stadium, obviously. And obviously, as a Cardinals fan, you know I was beyond jealous to see you out there hitting balls inside Busch Stadium. So where's like the closest city, if you will, to you?
I live in Edwardsville, Illinois. That would be the happening place right now, I guess. And the next biggest would be Fairview Heights in O'Fallon, Illinois.
Gotcha. Let's address this real quick. People know St. Louis for two things. They know it for the birds on the bat, baseball, and they know it as like the murder capital of the Midwest.
Wrong.
it's crazy because we're talking off air. Like anytime I've gone down, I've gone with the boys. We stay right across the street at the Brick Hotel there, the West End St. Louis. And so, you know, my travels within the city literally revolve around Ballpark Village, the Busch Stadium itself, and then maybe a block or two, you know, east or west, down to the Arch and stuff like that, obviously. But during the day, you know, to me, I've never felt unsafe. I've never felt like, you know, I was in any type of jeopardy. Is it like the East St. Louis area that's real bad? Like, where in relation to the ballpark are we talking people should not go?
Mostly downtown is safe. Like you said, if it's well lit, sadly, it's safe. There's been some crime at Ballpark Village. but mostly that area is safe. Yeah, East St. Louis, across the river, that's pretty crime ridden. I work with people that in the 60s, they used to talk about how they used to hang out there. Like, they would go there for high school dances, and that place is like empty now, and there's not empty. I shouldn't say that. It's mostly empty. You drive through on the highways and you're like, man, that place is just deserted. But yeah, so East St. Louis, North County, anything, you know, near 270, that's pretty dangerous up there, crime wise.
Yeah. So I took, like the last time I took the boys down there, you know, when I had both of them decided, hey, let's go take, when you go to the Arch, you can go up to the Arch, you can get like the trip package, which is like the riverboat trip and all that. I was like, hey, let's take the riverboat. Like, that'll be cool. Cruising down the mighty Mississippi. So it was the heat of the summer, a little bit of a drought going on there. So the mighty Mississippi wasn't as mighty. And this cruise ship, if you will, you know, like the old, the paddle wheel boats that they take you down, we're going down, you know, they pick out like, oh, there's a mutual bridge and stuff. But you get like literally maybe 500 yards away from the national park, which is where the Arch is. And it's just like homeless encampments, broken down buildings, like factories that don't no longer exist, graffiti everywhere. And my kids were looking at me, they're like, Dad, what are we seeing here? I was like, I don't know. It ended up basically being like free. You know what I mean? Once you add everything in. But yeah, it was interesting. But the Coors Gateway National is not far from the Arch. Like, as the crow flies on a map, it looks like, what, half a mile?
I mean, the actual, the west side of the course, it may be even less than that. Because it's real close to the river.
Now, can you see the Arch from any parts of the course?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is one of my favorite parts about this course. Hole two, hole one goes south to north, and you see it because obviously you're that close. You can see the skyline and stuff, but hole two actually faces west, and that's the first chance you get a chance to actually see that. And I don't know how many times people have come into town and I've taken them to this course, and everybody's like, whoa, 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 I need a picture right off the tee box.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great selling point for it, you know?
It really is.
So I'm looking online for it, and this one part interested me, and maybe you can shine some light on this. They kind of are really big, and you sent me the awesome ball marker, which I thank you so much. My boys love that white ball marker. And on the back, it says "Get Bent," which is hilarious, right? But it's also a play on the fact that the course is bent grass fairways. Now, from a dude in the Northeast, that's commonplace for me. You know, like all of our stuff is fescue and like Kentucky bluegrass and bent grass. Is that not the case in the Midwest?
No. That's a really good question. I had to actually call my buddy who's a super at a different course here in the area and ask him, because that, like you said, on the back of the ball mark, and they advertise the only bent grass fairways and greens in the area. And he says that it's not common here. So I will say that one of the things I really, really like is that when I first got to this course the very first time, I was still pretty young in my golf career. And this was the first course that I looked at and went, I could actually take my shoes off and play golf here. That's how much nicer it is compared to everywhere else, in my opinion.
Nice. Now, I've played, you know, like Top of the Rock, and, you know, we talked about that in the past. And that's the first time that I had ever played on Zoysia grass, which to me, as a sweeper of the golf ball, like, that was awesome to me. I felt like every single ball in the fairway or the fringe was sitting up on a tee. I mean, I had some of the most fun playing. So I'm wondering if, you know, if that is big out there, and maybe bent grass with the real extreme temperature changes that you guys experience out there, from, you know, the high heat in the summer to the real cold freezing times in the winter. Maybe it just doesn't last out there as it does, you know, by us, which is, I guess, is maybe a little bit more moderate temperature.
Yeah, it's weird. Just your area versus St. Louis. I think you said you were out hitting golf balls this week, and I'm sitting around going, it is still cold and freezing out here. As you know, I'm pretty good friends with the super at our course, and he was telling me that, you know, zoysia is what you try to, you know, grow in the spring and summer, and then you overseed for something else in the fall, and I don't even know what it is, but honestly, but he was telling me that, you know, zoysia is more common here, like you said, sits up, ball up nicely, and so my personal course, it has zoysia during the summer if it can grow it.
That's interesting. And I'm just looking at the map right now, and you guys, where you live, you're actually a ton. You're probably like, if we went on the same directional line across the country, you're probably sitting two and a half hours south of where I live. Like, do you know where Naperville, Illinois is?
I do, yeah.
All right, so looking on a map, I'm probably, again, equatorially along the country, probably 30 minutes south of Naperville if you were going to draw a straight line.
Right.
So, you know, you guys are more southern, but I guess it's just that Midwest weather that really determines what type of grass is going to be out that way. One of the other things I see on this, and you can attest to it as someone that's played it a bunch, I want to get your take on this. One of the opening taglines is, in the tradition of Carnoustie, Royal Lytham and St. Anne's and the Old Links and other famous seaside courses in the British Isles, Gateway National is a first-class links course, even though it's not near the ocean. I don't associate bent grass with links golf. Is there any truth to that, or is that just one of those kind of advertising tricks right there?
I'm going to go with a little bit of advertising trick. Now, we get some serious winds coming off that Mississippi River, and I think I've played in 40-mile-an-hour winds, and I've played where there's no wind at all. And I think that's part of their selling point on that is, hey, it's links style, and we can do this. But, you know, if you and I are watching any links course with PGA or anything else, LPGA, you know, they're hitting the ball and it's rolling 30 to 100 yards. I've never played Gateway National. I played some Midwest courses that are hard as rock in August. And it does that. But Gateway National, it rolls good, but it doesn't roll. It's never like it is on TV.
Okay, I gotcha. And that's what I kind of thought, especially with bent grass, because like when that gets wet, it gets lush. Balls plug. I know I'm used to that all the time out here. So that's what I kind of thought. And I think the term like links is thrown around a ton in golf when it's not really a sand-based soil texture that's near it, not even an ocean, let's just say, but an open body of water or whatnot. All right. So let's give people, before we get into the course breakdown, let's give people a little bit of your golfing background so they kind of know where your thoughts and opinions are coming from when we get into like distances and shots and stuff like that. So, you know, how did you get into golf? Where are you kind of as a golfer right now? You know, take us through a little bit of a journey that way.
Sure. I actually started golfing because my wife's family, when we first started dating, that was what they did on every holiday. We didn't start dating until senior year in high school, and that was 2002. So I picked it up from them. She left to go to school in Kentucky, and there was a par three course not even 5 minutes from her dorms and apartments. And I literally just sat there during the day and had nothing to do while she was at school when I went down to visit. So I picked up a set of irons off some website online and started playing golf. And that's where I fell in love with it because I could not golf in the beginning. Never did it growing up. Always was told by the parents, hey, this is too expensive. You're not able to do this. Now, I played basketball a bunch because, you know, all you had to have was a pair of shoes and a basketball. There was a rim anywhere you could play. So did that. But I didn't pick up golf till 02 and 03. And I was stunk for years. I am down to a 7 handicap. I say 7 because I disagree with the way the USGA does handicap. I play my course way too many times, my home course, and I'm down to a 5.2, it says. But if you take me to Gateway, where it's a little longer than my home course, then you're going to – I've got to add some strokes.
All right, so where is your home course?
So I play in Edwardsville at Oak Brook Golf Course. It's literally a farm golf course. It can have its good days. It can have its bad days.
Sounds a lot like my Indian Mountain here that that we put up on Instagram a lot. Yeah, sounds like not a proper course like Gateway National. I'm looking at the tees there, and you mentioned adding some distance. And this course on paper, if you were to play from the tips, and that is not a place that I frequent at all, but if you were, I'm looking at 71, 78 from the tips at a par of 71.
Yes.
So this is an absolute brute. And even the forward tees are playing almost 5,200 yards. So kind of walk us through what the layout looks like at Gateway National. Like if I was coming out to play with you and I didn't do any research on the website, what should I be expecting out there?
So when we play this, you'll enjoy this part. When we play, we usually play the arch tees, which is a mixture between their white and blue, blue being the second from the tips. And I love the arch tees because it's just long enough that I can't reach any of the par fives and two, but the par threes are playable for me.
Yeah, I'm looking at just under 6,400 yards. So that's my wheelhouse. Like I'm uber comfortable there. Because I know there's probably like maybe a drivable par four, but there's also some long par fives, and that distance there, like sub 65, I feel like, especially on the par threes, I'm not getting 190, 205 par threes, every single one. Like there's probably some mixture in there.
Right. Yeah. And there is, there's a 133 yard par three. And then, yeah, for sure. There's two of them I'm thinking that are anywhere from 185 to 200, depending on what day it is and where the pins are at. But yeah, it's got a good mixture. I really, really impressed the way they did that because Lynx is obviously known usually to be a little longer. In most cases, because your ball is going to roll out farther.
Right.
The bent grass, like you said, keeps it from doing that in the spring and really rainy summers or something. It's so wide, in my opinion, that it's troublesome because you don't think that I'm going to hit this over the dunes or mounds, whichever they're supposed to be. There's a couple of holes that, you know, line up on the outside of the course. You think, oh, there's no way I could aim that far right and have it slice and go out of bounds. And people forget about the wind. So that's, I mean, the wind really is the biggest, and it can change instantly out there, which is what makes it so fun. You see the pros throwing up grass and trying to figure out, well, where's the trees going? Well, there's no trees in Lynx style, so you're not really looking for that. You're looking for the grass, you know, the mounds in between each hole keeps you from seeing another hole, so you can kind of see the tall grass on top of the mounds move. Otherwise, it's a hit or miss.
Now, as a general point, is it normally windy in the summertime in the Midwest, or does that pick up closer to the fall, winter? Like, what are those variables like?
Spring is mostly windy. We start golf in, I should say, leagues pick up in April. And so my golf really picks up, you know, March. You know, we play year-round, but March to October is when we play for the most part. and March to June, it can be the windiest ever, and you can, your handicap can really go up just based on that. There's a couple times during league where a couple of my buddies, that they're just like, I don't want to play. This isn't fun, you know, when it's March and April. And I said, I know, just keep playing.
Yeah, just keep grinding away. What's the kind of pricing guide out there? Do they allow walking? It looks like a big course, so I'm wondering, is it cart path only type deals? Do they do twilight rates?
They do allow walking. I've never seen anything that says it's any cheaper. So it's like they're getting their money one way or the other.
Sure.
I've got a couple guys that will walk if it's like a Saturday morning and early and there's not too many people behind us. Pricing, they do they do what I consider to be the worst way to steal all your money, is that dynamic pricing.
I saw that on the website. Yep.
Man, on Monday and Tuesday you can pay as low as $35. On Friday and Saturday you're guaranteed to pay no less than $75.
Oh wow. Wow.
Weekends I've seen it at $100 before. You might find you and I play by ourselves quite a bit. You might be able to sneak on as a single, like on a Saturday morning for 60, and then, you know, brag to the guys that paid $100 and some that, hey, I got on for cheaper than you. But it averages 35 early in the week to, like I said, close to 100 on the weekends.
Okay, now there are some courses out there, you and I both know it, that if someone told me for $100 I could play it, I know that I've got a steal. So where do you feel is a fair price point for Gateway National? Like something where you're not being, you know, overtaxed, but you also feel like, you know what, I'm really getting my value at this price point.
You know, I'm like you, I've played all over the country. I've paid those high prices, I've paid the low prices. Honestly, 60, 65 bucks, I don't even bat an eye. I'm very happy to pay that. The average course around here in on the east side is easily about $40 nowadays.
Okay.
So, if I can get in for 60, 65 bucks at Gateway, I'm happy.
All right, so let me ask you this. How far outside of the St. Louis area do you and I have to go to kind of play the courses that, you know, we're kind of used to playing, like those farm type courses, maybe those local munis and things like that? How far of a drive do I have to be outside of St. Louis?
From downtown on the east side, 20 to 30 minutes. You can find some inside 20 minutes. They're not worth your money. It's one of the, you know, there's a couple that are owned by cities. And it's just not worth, in my opinion, driving to. On the west side, you got to go, you know, Forest Park is a beautiful course. It's very similar to what you and I are used to. It's a short course, though, because literally it was built inside of Forest Park, and old as can be, but still playable. That's 15 minutes from downtown. And then probably 30 minutes out from on the west side from downtown to play the courses you and I are used to. I wouldn't say goat tracks, but you know, the
music. Those cheaper price point ones, no frills, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So what's the vibe at Gateway? Do they take themselves too seriously? Are they a semi private that thinks they're Augusta National? Are they just a chill, laid back course? What am I expecting when I go there?
They know that they're one of the top ones in the metro area. I don't feel like when I walk in and I've got my shirt untucked and hat on that they're sitting there judging me or anything. They have some memberships. I'm sure they treat those guys great. I've never felt like I was looked down upon there. And, they've got guys out washing your clubs at the end of a round, and you know that most of the people that are finishing their round are going, no, I'm not giving you a ticket. So it's a little country club feel, But I would say that, it's 100% public, but it's definitely got that little bit of country club feel.
And I'm safe to say that that Midwest hospitality that I've seen out there is kind of pervasive through and through.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, for sure. So now I'm a big fan of having a place to warm up, maybe even having a course that has decent practice facilities, short game areas, you know, when I don't even want to go play. My favorite courses, honestly, are the places where I go to practice, maybe short game, maybe hit the range, whatever, and putt. I'm feeling real good. It's not super busy. I can go out and bang a quick 9 holes or even 5 or 6 holes afterwards. What are their practice facilities like there?
They have a pretty good range. They could use a few more targets, in my opinion, but probably got a 20 to 25 person range. Tee boxes are all grass at the range and pretty nice most of the time of the year. They've got one huge putting green, and I'm sure it's probably their preferred chipping green. And then by the number one tee box, they've got a really, really big putting green. And I've never had anybody say I can't chip there. This is one of those courses that you could pull up with an hour and say, I'm going to go grab some balls and then swing away for a bucket and then go spend 30 minutes on the putting green. And nobody would bat an eye.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. You mentioned memberships available. Do you have any idea what that is price-wise, what they're charging, and what it entails as well?
So a membership there is, as far as I know, is just golf, and it includes your golf and cart. And there's
That's big.
Yes, there's no separate little fees. A lot of the courses that I play around in the Metro St. Louis, you know, it might be X amount of dollars for a membership, which sounds really good. And then they're like, oh, by the way, it's $15 every time you play for a cart. And you're like, no.
Or you could pay for the year for $1,500 on top of that. And then that cheap price point goes through the roof.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got the pass information right here. Last year's prices. It was $2,400 for the year for a single pass, and that was only Monday through Friday, and then afternoon on weekends and holidays. If you wanted the full Sunday to Saturday, you know, only time it was blocked is when they had tournaments or something. That was $3,400, and it still had a premium price of $21 fee when playing on the weekends or holidays.
Okay.
So
that $2,400 one's not that bad, especially because you can still play on the weekends just at what I would consider like twilight time.
Right. In fact, if I was getting a membership here, the biggest thing isn't even the price, because the price isn't that bad considering some of the private country clubs around here. The cool thing is this is ran by Walters Management, and they've got, I don't know, a dozen courses under their management team that they take care of, both, you know, on the superintendent side and the inside. The thing that I like is, you know, you pay that $2,400 and you're like, yeah, hey, I was calling to get a tee time for Thursday, and they go, oh, man, we got an outing that day. But we can get you in on one of our other courses.
Oh, wow.
And that is the best selling point for me, because I can't stand, you know, having a course that you're a member at and not knowing, oh, man, I was going to play Thursday, but I forgot to make a tee time. You call 2 days before and it's like, oh, yeah, we got a tournament. Sorry.
So they're basically telling you that, hey, if you get a membership and you want to play on a day, we're going to be able to find a place across all these courses for you. That's a selling point and a half, if you ask me.
And you're not kidding. And the two times that I've called up there and actually wanted to play with a member, the buddy, he says, hey, you know, we want to get tee times. And they're like, well, we're booked, or we got a tournament. They call the other course and get us a tee time. We don't even have to take care of that, which is sweet.
Yeah, that's terrific. It's like having a full service concierge at your fingertips.
Basically.
So food and beverage at a place like this, you know, I always ask this and usually get better answers when it's like a private club because they kind of have maybe their own signature dish or something along those lines. Is it anything to write home about, or is it just kind of sustenance there?
It's above average, honestly.
Okay.
I don't know if he's an actual chef or not. He wears the chef hat on the
inside. Hey, then he's a chef, man.
That's right. On the inside, there's always at least a girl or a guy working the grill. Every time I've been in there, they've always got burgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, brats, and then they've got another menu of sandwiches and other things on the inside. And it's legit. It's good food. It's like going to a restaurant, not gonna lie. Some of their prices can be a little on the higher side compared to, you know, a local muni. But it's way better food too, in my opinion. The cool part about this Gateway National is you don't have to go back to the clubhouse between 9 and 10. There is a spot where you can sneak out of the course to go back to the clubhouse. But between 9 and 10, they have I don't even know what they call it, but a grill station. They've got a...
That little red barn that I'm seeing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome looking.
It is, you know, I don't know, 10 by 15 or whatever on the inside. And they've always got it on the weekends for sure. And most days when it's warm, I would say there's somebody out there. You know, they may not have food that day. Most days they do, but they always have drinks, you know, cold beer, soda, Gatorades, whatever you need. But most days they've got, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, brats out there as well.
Nice. Now, I'm a guy that is always going to pick something up at a course that I play, even if it's a course that, you know, maybe I didn't enjoy too much because, again, who knows if I'm ever getting back there. I tried looking up online. There's nothing really that they show as far as the golf shop, you know, goes, quote unquote. But after seeing the ball marker that you sent me, I just have to assume that maybe they have some pretty cool stuff that incorporate the art. So, like, as a St. Louis fan, I think I'm already, you know, kind of hooked on their logo use. But if I go to, do they have a full service pro shop? I mean, do they have logoed polos, quarter zips, you know, balls, hoodies, whatever?
Yes, I did my homework on this one.
Oh, I love that.
Could not remember what they had. I know every time I go in there, there's, you know, I feel like there's 100 shirts easily on the wall. There's putting, you know, putters from most brands, wedges in a bag somewhere like most courses. But I knew they had the merchandise, and I know you're familiar with this company, the 314 merchandise.
Yeah, for sure.
They are up in there. They've got Penn and Aces is in there. And I don't know if Penn and Aces is actually, you know, what do they call it? You know, has their own little store inside there or not. There was quite a few stuff when I stopped in. And this was just like a couple weeks ago in December when I stopped in there to see what they had. And that's when the ball mark I sent you is almost always out of stock.
Hmm.
And I got the last three of them, and I was like, sweet, I know what I'm doing with these.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't doubt, because it's not only is it simplistic, but it's a different design than you get in a ball mark, because it's like 3D cut. It's white. You don't see that much. And like I said, they've got that hilarious catchphrase on the back, like the get bent. And it almost looks to me, it's like a Seve Ballesteros type figure, you know, golfing within the parameter of the arch. I mean, like, that's everything I need in a ball marker. Like, that's awesome to me. I love that.
Yeah, that is my favorite ball mark, and I have no clue who makes that.
Gotcha. Now, do they stay open year round? Because we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how your golf season compares to mine out here and stuff like that for the last few months and stuff as we kind of roll into the heart of the winter. Today's a freak day for me. It's going to hit 52, so I'm heading to the range after this, because then we're just getting a ton of rain, which is what you're experiencing now.
Yep.
Does this course stay open 12 months a year?
Yes, they do. They just posted, we're going to have like 60, 65 degree weather on New Year's Day.
And oh,
they posted,
wow.
This is the first time in 3 years, I think, they've been open on New Year's Day. And they're having some tournament on New Year's Day, you know, two-man tournament or something. But yeah, they're open. Now, I say they're open. They're open. They're there. And you can go out and play. A lot of times during this winter, though, it'll be cart path only. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be dry. That's the one issue I have. And it's not a bad issue. I'm glad they take care of their course, but I'm not a walker. You know, I'm more of a cart guy. Put a beer in the cart with me and put some music on and let's just go enjoy ourselves. I'm not looking to exercise, but I'm looking to golf. So it's cart path only. I would say more than I would like, but you know, that's not a problem. I'll still go out there and enjoy that.
Are there any extra amenities here, or is it just golf?
Just golf.
Okay. Gotcha. And pretty good golf, you know, at that. So next question about this place. You mentioned they have a New Year's Day tournament. Do they do any bigger tournaments? And I'm thinking along the lines of like City Ams or things along those lines.
They have had they've had some amateur tournaments there. I know they've had college, like 2 day tournaments, but it's not really one of those things that they sit there and advertise. And yeah, I'm trying to think of. There's a MAGA, MAGA, not the Trump MAGA, but it stands for Metropolitan Area Golfers Association, and it's who most of us get our gin handicap through. And they host a couple of big tournaments there every year for the amateurs. But as far as like citywide, I don't think anything in St. Louis, I don't think they ever host anything outside of St. Louis for that.
Gotcha. If you had to transport somebody onto, let's say, two or three holes out there that are ones that really stick out, maybe your favorite or maybe have the best views, and within those two, three holes, it would kind of give an idea of the overall course. Which ones would you pick out there?
Easily number 10 and number 16 for me. Number 10 is a shorter par four. And from those arch tees, I can, if the wind's blowing just right and not against you, you can drive that par four green. I was trying to figure out how short it really was when I was looking this up. I think it says it's only like 260 or 270.
Okay.
But it's got a special little creek running right in front of the green, and it's a man-made creek that they've got running through the whole course, to give it that whole Link style vibe there.
Yeah.
And it will eat you up. I mean, most people will try to lay up, and there's a big bunker right in the middle of the fairway. So they're like, oh, I got to hit a 5-iron or a hybrid or something to get over that. And they'll hit it great, and then they've got like a 40-yard chip to go over this little creek that's not little. It's probably 10 foot wide or more, and it has water almost in it all the time. And that 40-yard chip, if you don't land it just perfectly, and the green rolls right up to this creek.
Oh, so nice.
So it's a beautiful little, you go for the, if you try to hit driver, you risk pulling one or pushing one into the creek. And if you lay up, then you've got this 40 yard chip. That's it's like, oh, I got to land it as soon as it gets over.
That's a great way to start the back nine there.
You're right.
Give people a little bit of decision making right off the bat.
Yeah. I hate when they're working on the front or something, and you start early morning, they're like, hey, we're going to have you start on 10. No, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. Like I want to warm up a little bit before I get there. Come on exactly. Now. Said 16 was the other one.
16 is my second favorite. It's a layup par four. They've got this huge stone big old rock on the right side of the fairway. And it's one of those like aiming points, like, hey, just lay up. So if you and I were going, I'd say, hey, just whatever it is from the tee box to that rock, lay up, you know, 30 yards short of that and you're totally fine. And then you just aim for the rock and over the rock and, you know, your second shot's 100, 120 yards and that's all you got. And it's a beautiful big green. Even if you hit it right down the middle of the fairway and you're looking right at the green, it's hard to see that it slopes right to left towards the lake. And it's a beautiful, beautiful shot. But I would say, you know, first timers or people that forget what that green does, that they hit it right the dead center and then they watch as it rolls right off into the water.
So this is a place that you do need a little bit of course knowledge to really pick up on the intricacies as you're making your way around the 18 holes.
Yes, there's a couple of holes for sure that it looks like it's wide open and you can just hit it wherever you want. And then it's all about that second shot for quite a few of them.
Gotcha. So last question I ask everybody is favorite memory or greatest memory of playing that course. And everyone, you know, has something along, you know, their journey that probably made this course stand out in their mind. So what is that for you at Gateway National?
Just the two things. The one I already mentioned was, you know, early in my golfing career, it was the first nice course I ever paid for. And, you know, I got there and some guy took my, you know, bag out of my trunk for me and threw it on a cart. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be nice. And you get there and you're putting and you're like, wow, this green is really fast compared to my course. And then you get out into the fairway for your first fairway shot. And you're like, wow, this, I literally could take my shoes off. It's like carpet out here. That was my first loving moment of Gateway National. And I guess I already mentioned this one too, is, you know, coming around from one to two on a nice sunny day where you can see everything and the arch is right there. And, you know, as you play the next couple holes, you get closer and closer to the arch. For me, the arch holds a special place. And I love.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that. Cause I know the story there, but it really is. I mean, this is a great story.
My wife and I, when we first started dating in high school, our first date was to the arch at like 8 p.m. at night, walking around the arch, just holding hands. And then we broke up for a short little period. And our next date was 4th of July down on the arch front, the riverfront there. They have a huge fireworks show and we sat there and watched it. So the arch was a special place for us. And we went, funny thing is we never went up the arch together until we had kids. But and then when I proposed to the wife, we went to the arch and I proposed to her at the same spot our first date was. So
awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, that is so cool. I've been up it twice, and you know, I really don't care how many times you go up or maybe how touristy you think it is. Like, you always see something new. It's just such an experience. And I mean, it's a technological marvel of engineering. It's absolutely insane. And now that I'm thinking that you say you can see the arch from the course, obviously I've probably seen the course as I'm looking out, you know, the eastern side, and just, I don't know, never noticed it was even there or never even knew that it existed.
Right. Yeah. Now that you say that, I don't remember actually looking for it when I was up in the arch, but I'm sure you can.
I have pictures from up there. And when we get off this, I'm going to go check and see if I can, if I can see that. If I do, I'll post one of those on Instagram for people to see. Andy, I cannot thank you enough. You are always my go-to for the Midwest, and you know, greatly appreciate the friendship and the times that we've been able to speak. And thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, no problem, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, people. So either get busy golfing or get busy dying.